Well, how's everybody doing? Everybody, you guys didn't turn over on me, did you? You guys okay? All right. It is good to see all of you today. Good to see you at church. Thankful for you. Really thankful for each and every one of you. Welcome to church. Welcome to New Life. I want to say hi to those of you who are watching online. And by the way, we may not gain millions of views through our online service, but I want to tell you, there are at least a couple of accounts where someone has recently passed away that the word got to us that they've been watching and they gave their life to Christ because of this. I mean, come on, right? You just don't know. You don't know the day or the hour when your name gets called. But it's good to get testimonies like that, because sometimes we're like, is it really worth it to keep paying this and doing that? And I think it might be, guys. I think it might be. That's an amazing story that we get stories like that. And so thankful for a church that believes in the gospel, believes in the church, believes in the power of it all, and continues to be faithful. Well, let me invite you to open up your Bibles to the gospel, or excuse me, to the book of Acts. I kind of like it's the gospel in action. The book of Acts chapter 2, it's kind of our foundational text for a series that we're in called, called Back to Church, Blueprints. And back to church series coincides with a celebration on what's called the National Back to Church Sunday, which is September the 15th. And on that day, our church will be receiving and partaking of communion. But we will also after service, we'll have a church-wide picnic and a time of fun and fellowship, getting to hang out with each other. Imagine that, people who actually love each other want to hang out together. So that's going to be fun. We're going to have a grill with food and different things. So you'll hear a few more details over the next week or so about how you can participate in that. So that's on that National Back to Church Sunday, the 15th. And also, that's a great day to invite someone to church. So be thinking and praying about that as well. Let's look at this text, Acts 2, verse 42. I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation, which will be on the screen. Follow along with me. Every believer, it says, was faithfully devoted. This happened on the day of Pentecost, and Peter preached his first sermon. The Holy Spirit was poured out, and his history was changed for things. And the church was born. And it says this, all of those, there's 3,000 people in all who gave their lives to Christ on that day. It says every one of them were faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion, coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. And out of generosity, they sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. And daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. And they were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you for your presence, your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the calling that you've placed on our lives to serve you and to fulfill the purpose that you created us for. This morning, as we open your word, we ask, oh Lord, that you would remove any scales from our eyes, spiritually speaking, bring forth light and revelation to help us understand it more, and then help us, oh Lord, to just walk it out and become stronger followers of Christ. Help me to do what you've assigned me to do today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have here the early church, the original church, and what we're doing in this series is we're exploring some of the basic blueprints of this early original church and how these blueprints are still necessary and vibrant for today in our modern life as believers. You know, blueprints usually come, if you look at a set of blueprints, there's usually a little legend on there that shows what certain symbols mean and then the scale to which it was drawn and what it represents. God's word is like that legend, and it shows us who God is. It shows us who we are, shows us where we came from, shows us the image we were created in, the image and likeness of God, shows us about purpose, shows us about life, shows us about a connection with God, a relationship through Jesus Christ that we can have with God, and it certainly shows us the destination of eternity and where it can be if we put our faith and trust in the Lord. Speaking of word and words, I read a story yesterday. It said that a truck loaded with thousands of copies of Roget's Thesaurus crashed yesterday, losing its entire load. Witnesses were stunned, startled, aghast, taken back, stupefied, confused, shocked, rattled, paralyzed, dazed, bewildered, mixed up, surprised, awed, dumbfounded, flabbergasted, astounded, amazed, confounded, overwhelmed, horrified, numb, speechless, and perplexed. Meanwhile, those who were waiting for the shipment were at a loss for words. Words. So many. Let's look at a text here, the ending of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. Let's take a look at that. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 7, verse 24. He said, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." Jesus ending his Sermon on the Mount, famous teaching, and scholars believe a practice that he would go around when he would preach and teach would be based on a lot of this. That he says, if you will, those who listen and follow my words and my teachings, he said, you will be like this wise builder. Your house, your life will not collapse no matter what, because your life is built on the bedrock. And if you don't listen and follow my teachings, he says, then your life, your house will collapse. And we can gain from this that God's word is a bedrock and is the bedrock. Today I've titled today's message, Blueprints of the Word. Blueprints of the Word. Lifeway Research has done a lot of surveys. One in particular, just a few years ago, they did a survey. And they found that 20% of American Christians have read their Bible at least one time all the way through. Just last year, they did a research. They found that 65% of Protestant churchgoers spend time alone with God daily. And out of those 65%, it says that 63% read from an actual Bible when they spend time with God. And 20% use a Bible app on smartphone or device of some kind. And those stats went on to show, there's one in particular that's real famous called the YouVersion Bible app. This is pretty neat, that last year it said that 6.7 billion times people used that app, opened up the Bible app. And 2.8 billion times they made a highlight, a bookmark, or a note in the Bible app. 566 million verses were shared. There's roughly 31,000 verses in the Bible. 566 million verses were shared across the globe. 473 million in-app searches. So someone would open the Bible app, type in a phrase or a thought about a scripture, and boom, they would find a scripture or scriptures pertaining to what they were looking for. This says a lot, but I think one thing in particular, it says that honestly, in life, people are looking and searching for truth. People are looking for a bedrock from which they can build their house. And God's word is just that. It's a bedrock. It's the bedrock. Let's look at what Paul expounds on in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writes this letter. In fact, it's probably noted that it's Paul's last letter that he wrote from prison. And so, as with any final thoughts and final words from any person, that pretty much says, I need you to listen to what I got to say. Jesus said his final words in Matthew 28 when he told the disciples about the Great Commission right before his ascension to heaven. And here Paul writes this, chapter 3, 2 Timothy. He says, all Scripture, everyone say all Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. It doesn't just leave us in the wrong, but it shows us then how to do what's right. Verse 17, and God uses his Scripture, God uses it to prepare and to equip his people to do every good work. For a few minutes, I want to walk us through this a little bit about all Scripture and about how the Word is so powerful and how the blueprint of God's Word and what it can produce in us and what it can do in our lives. First off, Paul says, listen, you got to remember, you got to know that all Scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed. God inspired 40 authors to write 66 books, and not one of them are in error in their original writing. Not in error. They are factual, they are true, they are real. And it's pretty amazing that that many people can be inspired by God and write this and then canonized to produce what we know now as the Holy Bible. It's the standard bearer. It is the bedrock of our faith. And Paul says that you got to remember. And then he goes on and he says, this Scripture, though, all of it is not only is it, it's inspired by God and God breathed, but then it's one thing to just exist. It's another thing for it to be alive and at work in people's lives. To know that it exists to move in us, to work in us, to change us, to empower us, to guide us, and all of these things. And first off, he says the Bible teaches us, the Scriptures teach us what is true. The blueprint of God's Word teaches us what is true. Now, truth in today's world is can be a controversial thing. And each person in life seems to and can have their own version of truth and influenced by their own perspectives and experiences and that sort of thing. But truth here, Paul is saying, is foundation. It's foundation to our faith. Unfortunately, a lot of people try to use God's word for personal gain. Others use it in a religious, prideful way to put people down. And it's used in a variety of different ways. But ultimately, as we read some of those stats earlier, it's definitely used for what is good, for what is right, to help people know what is true, to guide people into the faith that is in Jesus Christ. And so Paul's saying, look, in fact, he wrote this in Ephesians 6. He said, every day we're to put on the spiritual armor of God. And the first piece we're to put on is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. The belt of truth, truth, God's word. In other words, it needs to be the center of our life. God's word needs to be the center of our life. About the middle of the Bible is Psalm 118. And it can vary depending on exactly how you count it and look at it. But this is kind of where I've landed. Psalm 118, verse 8, I look at it as the center of the Bible, the very center of it all. Look at what it says, if you're going to look at the center of God's word. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. Right in the middle of the Bible, it tells us it is better to put your trust in the Lord than in anybody else. And that goes without saying anything else. Right in the middle. So Paul reminds us here off the bat in 2 Timothy that we are to understand that Scripture, the blueprint of God's Word, teaches us what is true. And we can only accept that if we believe that it truly is God's Word, God-inspired Word to us, to teach us, the very center. So every day, we are to remind ourselves that the Word of God must be the center of our life. When the Word is our center, then that balances us. That helps us to be balanced. That helps us to know left, right, front, back, right, wrong, all the things. And he goes on to tell us this, Scripture corrects us. Not only does it teach us, but it says Scripture corrects us. God's Word has a way of shaping us and molding us. That's what that word goes on to mean, the word correct. Scripture corrects us. It shapes us. It molds us into God's original design for our life. That's what His Word does. Look at Romans 12, 2. Paul writes this, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." You know, our thinking changes the more we take in God's Word. Old school preachers used to call it stinking thinking. That the stinking thinking gets washed out the more of God's goodness of His Word, the wholesomeness of His Word gets put into us. So our thoughts begin to change when we take more of God's Word in, and then transformation begins to happen from the inside out. Now, I know in our world today, in our modern society, and for decades on end, people like to give the persona of outside in. That if I look it on the outside, people will believe that that's who I am on the inside. But how many of you know God does not look at the outward appearance? God looks at the heart of a person. And so we can't hide anything from God. I know we try to think we're real good at it, and man, we can get real slick at it. We might hide it for a lot from people. But man, none of us can hide anything from God. None of us can. He's all-knowing. And He begins to do this work as we open our life up to God's Word. It changes the way we think. It begins to transform us from the inside out. And then it leads us to begin to discover God's purpose for our life. And we begin to realize, as Paul writes to the Philippians, as we covered earlier this summer in Philippians 2:13, that the more we experience God, the more God is working to give us a desire and the power to actually do what pleases Him. How many of you want to please God with your life? How many of you really want to please God with your life? It starts by going to the bedrock, the Word of God. Getting the Word to get in you changes the way you think. And the more it changes the way you think, the more it transforms us from the inside out. And the more we're being transformed from the inside out, God begins to open us up to see that we have a purpose. He created us with a design, a purpose that He has created us for, to live, to walk out in this world. And it's God then who puts within us the actual desire to do what pleases Him. You and I can't manufacture and come up with the desire to please God. That desire comes because God has put that on the inside of you. When you know you're loved by God, it makes you want to please the one who created you with the way you live your life. God is most glorified in my life when Christ is most praised in how I live. Amen? And Paul is letting us know, not only does Scripture teach us what's true, but it corrects us. It molds us. It molds us. It shapes us. You know, you can be around somebody for a long time who may have not been real serious about faith and serving the Lord, and then they give their life to God. They surrender it all to the Lord, and over a little time, you begin to take note of some changes that has taken place in them, that they're not who they used to be. What happened? That is the power of God's word going into play to change the way they think, to transform them from the inside out, and to open them up to realize God has a greater purpose in mind for them, and he has a will for their life. And God is producing within them the power and the ability and the energy and the want to and the desire to live a life that pleases the Lord. But where does that all start? The word. The word. Everybody awake? Okay. Half are. Okay. Maybe you get some rest today. Then Paul says in verse 17 of 2 Timothy, he says, all this scripture, not only does it teach us, correct us, but then he says, it prepares us. God uses his word to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Every assignment and every purpose that God has created you for on this earth comes from God using his word to equip you and to prepare you for it. In other words, God doesn't leave us shorthanded. God doesn't put you here and then leave you to figure it all out. God put you here, and God works with you here, and God walks with you here, just as a picture of the way we were created in Genesis 1 in the Garden of Eden. God created man and woman in his image and his likeness, and God walked with them, and God gave them purpose, and God worked with them. Same thing. That happens when we accept Christ in our life and we get God's word working in our life. It begins to open us up to realize God is actually doing something in you to prepare you and equip you for everything, for spouses, for parents, for jobs, for living, and ultimately in all of that, to be a disciple, to be a disciple, to be a follower of Christ. I got amen from the baby corners over here. It's amazing. I love it. I love it. Don't feel awkward, Mom. It's amazing. I love the sound. And if it's not the baby, then whoever else it is, just go ahead and blame it on the baby. It's okay. I got two over here. Yeah. How about that? That's awesome. God prepares us and equips us for his good work. So how do you know God's will? Right? How do I know what God's purpose is for my life? God's word tells us in Psalm 119, 105 that his word is guidance. His word is direction. His word leads. His word shows us the way in which our lives are to go. Look at the book of wisdom in Proverbs 3. Famous one. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Tells us, straight from God's word, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Now, no show of hands, but who knows, they have depended on their own understanding in life. Before, we thought we should not do that. We should trust the Lord. But yet, something in us thought, I think I might know what to do here. What's it tell us? Seek his will. And just a few things you do in life. Does it say that? There's a word there. A-L-L. What's that spell? All. I know how to spell it. I know what it means. Right? All still means all. No, you don't have to show your hands unless you just want to. How many of you struggle with worry, fear, anxiety, trust, then some other things like that? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm going to raise mine. But what's it tell us? Seek God's will in all we do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, we're already told Psalm 119, right in the middle, 105, says, his word is a light and a lamp unto our feet, to our path, to guide us, direct us, lead us, shows us. Proverbs, wisdom tells us it's best practice in life with God in all things. Trust him first with all your heart, cast your cares onto him, roll it off into his lap, and say, God, I seek you. I need to know what you want me to do. What do you want me to do? We are to trust, we are to seek, and then it's God's job to show us. He will show us. He will show us. You want to know God's will? You want to know what God's purpose is for your life? You want to know that, man, is the trajectory of my life and the direction of my life going in a direction that will, first of all, please God, and second of all, is this the purpose for me? Go to his word and ask him, show me what to do. Jeremiah tells us, when you're at a crossroads, consider the old godly way and cry out to God to open your eyes to see the godly way of truth and then walk in that direction. It says your souls will find rest and peace and refreshing. There's going to be some times in life where we're not going to know what to do. We're going to be at a crossroads. We're going to be maybe between a rock and a hard place, and it's going to be difficult. And we're not going to know exactly how to handle or what to do. Most of the time in those situations, there's other scriptures that tell us this: wait patiently for the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to wait. I must confess. But man, in those times when I had just waited, peace comes and God opens up whatever it was that needed to be opened and provides it and makes a way or brings an answer or whatever it is. Scripture tells us that many times. Wait on the Lord. In fact, Isaiah said, hey, wait, those who wait on the Lord, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up with wings like eagles. They will soar. They will walk and not faint. They will run and not grow weary. Right? Where does that stem from? Waiting. Where does it tell us that? Isaiah. Who is Isaiah? A prophet. Who is the prophet? He's in the middle of the Bible. What's the Bible? God's word. What's God's word do? Teaches us, corrects us, molds us, prepares us, equips us, right? You see how it works? See how it's going? I know it's very simplified, low pre-K teaching there. That's one of the things we teach our kids, right? Wait. Just wait. Wait. It's going to happen. Wait your turn. Wait your turn. Wait your turn, right, teachers? Seek, trust, seek. God will show us what to do. Talking about the blueprints of God's word, my last point is this. Paul said this in Romans 15:4. He said, the scriptures are given to give us hope and encouragement while we live on this earth to wait for God's promises to come to pass. Romans 15:4. So not only does God's word teach, correct, and equip us and prepare us, but it gives us hope and encouragement. Come on, is there anybody that ever needs a day and a time in their life when you just need some hope and you need encouragement? Yes, probably every day, 8 days a week, right? We need it. We need it. Man, when you get a shot of encouragement, boy, that does something to you, does it not? When you've been having a struggle and a bad day and the enemy's been lying to you and things haven't been working out the way you hoped it would, and somebody comes along and drops some hope and some encouragement in your lap, man, it energizes your soul. It tells you, oh, wait, everything's going to be all right. God's going to work that out. God's got me. God knows me. I'm not alone in this fight. I'm not alone in this struggle. I'm not alone in this debacle. God's with me. God knows what's real. God knows what's true. God knows what's in me. And you get that encouragement, and it gives you hope, and it gives you encouragement. Scripture does that. I was at one of my lowest points many years ago, and I read Psalm 94:19. I keep it in the front of my Bible. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations, Lord, cheer my soul. Tell you, man, darkness is heavy sometimes in life, is it not? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and principalities of the evil one. And the way you combat that is not with physical fighting, but it's through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God. God's Word gives us hope and encouragement. So while we're living on earth, while we're living here, God's Word wants to work in our lives. Now, I want to take just an extra minute on this point here before I bring it home. The plane is getting sent to the runway, okay? Getting ready to land here shortly. God's Word wants to work in our lives right here on this earth while we're living. Not hard, but tap the person next to you. Make sure they're awake. Make sure they're still breathing. All right. How do we know God's Word wants to work in our lives? How do we know God's Word wants to bring us hope and encouragement? Hebrews 4:12, the writer says this, that God's Word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That His Word is alive and powerful, meaning this, it's able to breathe fresh life into our soul, and it's energetic in my life. That's what God's Word wants to be. Powerful, energetic, breathing fresh life into our soul. Can we count on God's Word to never dissipate? Absolutely. Peter says this in 1 Peter 1:25. The flowers fade, the grass withers, but God's Word will never, ever disappear. God's Word will never disappear, never pass away. In fact, Isaiah says this in Isaiah 55. I've always loved this passage of Scripture. He says, as the snow and the rain come down from heaven to water the earth and to bring forth its fruit, so shall the Word of God be. You look at the rain and the snow coming down from heaven to water the earth, to replenish the earth, and in so doing, it produces fruit. So shall God's Word be. In fact, it said God's Word, when it's planted in the heart of a person, then it will produce what it was intended to produce. Don't ever underestimate the power of God's Word. It only takes one word from God to change your entire life. 33 years ago, I sat in a service as around 16 years old, 15, 16 years old, and it was one word that changed the rest of my life. The man talked about repentance, never heard of it before. Didn't even know what the heck it meant. But I sat in the youth service on the back row, cutting up the whole time. Because I was like, I ain't into this stuff. I just want the games and the food afterwards, right? And if it wasn't like God, one thing that man said caught my attention, snapped me into place, and I just felt compelled to go to the altar. And when I got to the altar, that was the old school altars. That's when they had those altar, like the kneeling bench, it was padded, and I went into that as a Nazarene church, went up to that altar, and all I could do was cry. All I could do was just let all the ugliness of my life just unfold and wash out and come out on that altar, and all I could feel was God's love for my life. One word from God can change your whole life. You need hope? Now, I know there's a lot in here that doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes. I understand that. But He's given it to us. You need encouragement? When my life is dark, when my life is depressed, when I don't know what to do, oh Lord, Your words are a consolation to my soul. But what good is it if we don't take it in? Because once you take it in, what's your favorite meal? Think about that. I know it's almost lunchtime. What's your favorite? If you could eat your favorite meal right now, what's that doing to you? It's getting you, I'm hungry. I could chow down right now. I'm ready to go. Say amen and let's do it. That's what His Word will do. It will excite you. It will inspire you. It will obviously show us what's wrong, teach us what's right, shapes us and mold us, guides us and lead us. But man, it also gives us hope. It gives us encouragement. It gives us what we need. God's Word is, when it goes in you, it's working in you to produce, to accomplish, and to prosper, because ultimately God's Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Look at this with me in John 1, final part here. You guys with me? It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Verse 1, the Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, speaking of Christ. 14, so the Word, Jesus, became human and made His home among us, and He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus is the ultimate culmination of God's revelation to humanity. You see Jesus, you see God, He's the Word. Look at this last verse in the Amplified Version, Colossians 1:19. Paul says, it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in Christ permanently. What's he saying? That when you and I get into the Word of God, then what we're doing is getting into Jesus. When we get into the Word, we're getting into Jesus. And when we get into Jesus, we're getting the divine fullness getting into our life. You don't want to live a jacked up life anymore. You want to know what's straight and what's real and what's right and what's true and what God has for you. It comes from God's Word. When you get His Word working in your life, you're getting the divine fullness working inside of you to accomplish, to produce, to fulfill, to bring to pass what God has designed you for, a life that worships the living God and lives to please Him with your life. It gives us hope and it gives us encouragement. God's Word, the blueprints of it, teaches us, molds us, prepares us, builds us up, equips us, and gives us hope and encouragement. Finally, I just want to tell you this, just some thoughts of practical encouragement. Five pieces of practical encouragement. We know from Matthew 4:4, Jesus quotes Scripture back to the devil, and he tells him, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We know that from Matthew 4:4 that we were created to feed on the Word of God daily. There's just only so much and so many other things in life that can really truly satisfy us, feed us, and fulfill us, that unlike God's Word can. We were created to feed on His Word daily. Number two, think about this. Whatever type of person you are, if you're a morning person, you're a night owl person, you work day shift, you work the overnight shift, or whatever it is, here's what I want to tell you. Find 15 minutes daily to get into the Word of God. Somehow, some way, find 15 minutes to get into the Word of God daily, any point. Because number three, in this day and age, there are a variety of resources available to us. I mean, a variety of resources. And living in the technology world, they're even, if you download them, they're free right here on your phones. Right here on your phones. That you can get in and find devotionals. You can find prayers. You can find, obviously, scriptures that you can get in on in a daily way. Number four, Pastor Rich Velotta says this. He says, there's no spiritual discipline like getting in the Word that can make God love you more. You don't do it to make God love you more. He says, too late for that. God already loves you. He already loves you. So if you feel bad about not getting into the Word to the point of wanting to quit and not do it anymore, that is called condemnation. But if you feel bad to the point of saying, I'll just start over tomorrow, that's called conviction, and that's grace working in your life. Know the difference. Condemnation wants you to quit. Conviction wants you just to get back at it tomorrow. Learn and know the difference. Condemnation does not come from God. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who belong to Jesus. And lastly, number five. Come to church. This one's a shocker. Can't believe I'm even saying it to you. The audacity. Come to church. Hear the word. Take notes. And then take time throughout the week. Just review something out of those notes. Just review something out of what you heard and what you wrote down and what fed you that week. Our mission is to make Christ Jesus the center of our life. And ultimately, with that, the word, the belt of truth, has to be the center. Belts are made for here, right? You don't wear them on your shoulder. You don't carry them in your hand. Look at my new belt. That's awesome. Look at that bling on the front of that thing. Right? No, belts here. Truth, center, God's word. Would you stand? I just simply want to inspire you as much as I can to find a rhythm that works for you to make God's word a blueprint in your life, because it's going to show you what you need. It's going to connect you more with God. It's going to build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No one else can do it for you. And so we obviously have connecting points in our church to help strengthen that. But I want to inspire you to find a way, to find a daily rhythm to get in to God's word. I want to pray. And we're going to close out with this song. We sang it earlier, I Belong to Jesus. And I just want you to sing it. That one got me hyped up, as you couldn't probably tell earlier. But I just want us to sing it and make it a declaration. And here's what I want you to do as we sing this song. I just want you to, if you're with a family member, I just want y'all to kind of huddle. If you're by yourself, get with a friend. Encourage each other in this song that together we belong to Jesus. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this chance, this opportunity to come together as a church, come together as people searching, looking for what is true, what's real. And it's in you, and it is you. Today I pray, Lord, our hearts would be open more and more to your word. May we find ourselves daily finding, discovering, man, I have a desire to read God's word a little more than I did yesterday. And for anyone who struggles with the guilt or the condemnation, Lord, break that off of their life in Jesus' name, and grace them this week with a reminder, Holy Spirit, to just open the word in some capacity to begin that process and that daily rhythm. Help us discover that daily rhythm of walking and learning from you, Lord, in your word. We give you praise, and we are thankful, Jesus, that you are the King of our heart and that we belong to you. In Jesus' name.